بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. So we continue our studies in the subject of الآداب الشرعيه الآداب الشرعيه the legislative manners the manners that have been prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his book in the noble Quran and in the sunnah of his noble prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And as has proceeded, we will be benefiting mainly from two works specifically, as well as, of course, in general, the works of the ulama with regards to the explanation of these issues and the clarification of the meaning of the verses that we mentioned from the books of tafsir. And the meaning of the hadith from the books of a hadith and explanations of the books of hadith. But as for the outline and the guideline and the arrangement and the order of the topics that we will study in this class, بإذن الله تعالى, we're following the book of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. His name is Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. And the book that we are following, or that we are relying upon with regards to the narrations and the arrangements of the chapters, is Al-Adab al-Mufrad. Al-Adab al-Mufrad. Before we go into that, just to mention briefly, the author of that book is Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, and his name is Muhammad ibn Ismail Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, and he is from Bukhara. Naam, it's a place which is now in what is known to the people as Iran, in that area. May Allah return those lands back to Ahl Sunnah. But this is where he is from, and he died in the year 256, rahimahullah ta'ala, and his kunya is Abu Abdullah. His name is Muhammad ibn Ismail, and he is ascribed to the land of Bukhara, al-Bukhari. And his kunya is Abu Abdullah, and his laqab is Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith. Amir al-Mu'mineen fil Hadith, the commander of the believers and the leader of the believers with regards to al-Hadith. Naam, and he has a very famous book, even more famous than this one. What is it? Sahih al-Bukhari, ahsant. Sahih al-Bukhari, which is the most authentic book authored by a man. And coming after that in authenticity is? Sahih Muslim, by al-Imam Muslim. Naam, and he died in the year?
256.
No, Bukhari 256.
261.
Naam. 261. Naam. 256 and 261. Naam. 256 al-Imam Bukhari and 261 al-Imam Muslim. Al-Imam Muslim. Naam. So the book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad. Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his authentic collection, Sahih Bukhari, he has a chapter called Kitab Al-Adab. And he had mentioned narrations with regards to manners there as well, inside of that work, Sahih al-Bukhari. But because of the importance of this topic, and the great concern also of the scholars with regards to this topic, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he had written a single work that was entirely concerning manners. That's why it's called Al-Adab Al-Mufrad. So we have Kitab Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, and then we have Kitab Al-Adab by al-Bukhari. Kitab al-Adab. This is in Sahih al-Bukhari, from the chapters of Sahih al-Bukhari. In Sahih al-Bukhari, there's Kitab Bad al-Wahyi, Kitab al-Iman, Kitab al-Salat, Kitab al-Zakat, Kitab al-Tahara, ila akhiri. And from those books, Kitab al-Adab in Sahih al-Bukhari. Naam, along with the rest of the affairs of the deen that have been mentioned in the chapters and the topics that have been mentioned in that work. But he has written a single book specifically dedicated to the affairs of manners. And this is an indication of the importance of manners. The importance of manners. And the scholars of hadith, they have shown great concern with regards to the affair of manners. And from this, we see that they have written works specialized and specifically about the topic of al-adab wal-akhlaq. From them, al-adab al-mufrad. Who knows some other books that were written, that was written only about manners? Al-adab al-shar'iyya, sah. By who? By Ibn Muflih. Naam, al-adab al-shar'iyya. Naam is a work written by a great imam from the Hanabila, Ibn Muflih, rahimahullah. Naam, also some other works only about manners. Have you ever studied a book about manners? What? Maybe you studied the book in Masjid al-Tawheed. Naam, Imam Khalif, he's teaching that book now at Adab al-Mufrad, Sunday mornings. What else? Akhlaq hamalat al-Qur'an. The manners of the carriers of the Qur'an. Also another book, all about manners. Akhlaq al-Ulama. Ahsanti, Akhlaq al-Ulama. Who are those books by? Al-Imam Al-Ajurri, rahimahullah ta'ala. Naam. Abu Bakr Muhammad ibn al-Husayn al-Ajurri. He died in 360. These are from the examples of the great concern that the ulama have had with regards to clarifying the noble and legislative manners. That they have written entire books only about that issue. And only about that topic. As for these classes, then inshallah we will follow in general. Not specific, not exactly. Because some of the chapter titles and topics will not be suitable for the level that we are on now. But in general, we will follow this book, Al-Adab Al-Mufrad. Al-Adab Al-Mufrad. And then likewise, there's another book that we will benefit from as well. And that is by a great scholar of today. And his name is Sheikh Abdul Razak. Hafidhahullah ta'ala, from the great scholars of Medina, and from the teachers in Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi, and from the teachers in Al-Jami' Al-Islamiyah, and he's from the teachers that I was allowed to benefit from by the permission of Allah and from His grace. Walillah alhamd. So he has a book also called Ahadith Al-Akhlaq. Naam, the narrations about manners. And he had mentioned in this work that he had summarized and followed the tartib likewise in the arrangement of Al-Adab Al-Mufrad. So we have these works that if one would like to summarize, or the parents would like to review and to look into, and the likes like that, or even some of the students who are older, then they can refer back to these books particularly. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So beginning, we see that here in my hand is Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. And this book, هذا الكتاب يقع في مجلد واحد. This book is in one volume. Many of the works of the scholars, there'll be several volumes. Naam, some of the books that are well known to us, they're not one volume. There are many volumes. But this book here, it is one volume. Here we have Al-Adab Al-Mufrad. The Imam Al-Hafidh Abi Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ismail Al-Bukhari Al-Mutawaffa Sanad 56 and 200. Naam, and this particular work has been checked and reviewed by Al-Shaykh Al-Albani Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, and he died in the year 1420. Sheikh Muhammad Nasiruddin Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala, he has reviewed and checked this work, and it is very, very beneficial copy. A very, very beneficial copy. If we begin and we look in the first of this work, we see before the book actually begins, the one who has done the checking and the likes, he has shown the actual manuscripts that were relied upon in order to verify and authenticate the text of this work. And the more manuscripts that the muhakkik, and muhakkik is the one who will go to the scriptures and to the parchments and to the papers that have been collected and written before. And from the scholars of hadith, they didn't always have books like this. This is like very nice form of a book. Before, they didn't have books in this form. And they didn't have printing presses and typewriters and the likes like this. And they would print and they would write books with their hands. And they would have a man, he's known as an-nassakh, and he would copy the books, and they'd have to check the copies to make sure they're correct, and then they would be passed out in this manner. And the books, they were collected on parchments and on pieces of paper that were made, and they were tied together. So a book in their day would be big, because they're writing in their hand, and also they're tying the papers together and binding them physically without any machines and the stuff like, and the likes like this, like we have today. So we still have this heritage, and these papers have reached us. And they're called makhtutat. Makhtutat. And they will be authenticated. And sometimes we will find them in the hands of the author. And sometimes they will be in the hands of those who have come later. But here's the example of these that were relied upon here. Naam. The manuscripts. So many different manuscripts. And this is a means to for the book to have more value. If the person who checked the book is called the muhakkik, if he relied upon one manuscript, for example, and it's old, then his checking is going to be kind of weak. But if he relied upon two or three, and one of them is older, and one of them is not older but newer, and one of them is older, or if he had one that's in the hands of the handwriting of the author, or in the student, or the famous student of the author, for example, or he relied upon seven or eight different manuscripts in order to check the authenticity of the work. And the likes like this, it makes the work more valuable. So we see that there are several manuscripts that have been relied upon in order to authenticate this work and to verify the authenticity of this work to the author. And from that we see that Al-Imam al-Bukhari, not only does he narrate in this book with chains of narration to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who have narrated this book to us have narrated with chains back to Al-Imam Bukhari. So it begins with the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And then it has a chain all the way to Bukhari. That they heard this book from Al-Imam Bukhari. And Al-Imam Bukhari, he narrates on his sheikh, all the way back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like this. So not only does the hadith have a chain, the hadith has a chain, likewise the books, they have chains. And this is from the protection and the preservation of Allah Azza wa Jalla for this deen. That information is verified. And that information is authenticated. And that a believer just does not follow anything what anybody says and just read any book and the likes like this. But rather it has to be authenticated and verified before it is ascribed to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And before it is ascribed to the statements of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a benefit. This is a benefit. Tayyib. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, when he began this book about manners, we see that there are manners with regards to so many different affairs. There are manners with regards to the neighbors. There's manners with regards to the animals. There's manners with regards to the workers. There's manners with regards to every affair and every different individual. But Al-Bukhari, he began these manners with the parents. Not with the neighbors, not with the companions, not with the friends, not with the brothers and sisters, not with the travelers. There's manners in all of these affairs, inshallah, we will discuss many of them. Manners in eating, and manners in drinking, and manners in sleeping, and manners in walking, manners in talking. manners in dua. All these different manners, where did he begin? Out of all of the issues that are related to manners, he looked into two of them, and where did he begin? He began with the manners with the parents. He began with the manners with the parents. So the first topic that we study, Birr al-Walidain. Birr al-Walidain. Obedience to the parents. Obedience and kindness, and being nice and courteous to the parents. This is where Al-Imam al-Bukhari, he began. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. And there is a great, great benefit in that. And as it is as if al-Bukhari, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he is telling us, and those who read his work, that the people who have the most right, that if you're going to read, and you're going to study and learn al-adab al-shar'iyya, and if you're going to learn about the akhlaq and the good manners that are mentioned in the Quran, and if you're going to learn and study the noble conduct that is displayed in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the one who has the most right for you to use those manners with is your parents. Is your parents. From the good manners, smiling. From the good manners, talking with a nice voice. From the good manners, facing people when you speak to them. From the good manners, all of these affairs, being patient in the harm and when people harm you. The one who has the most right for us to use these good manners with, they are the parents. They are the parents. The one who has the most right for us to use these good manners with, they are the parents. So anything that we see from the good manners, it's from the way of a believer that he will use those manners with all of the people. And a believer is required to have good and noble manners and upright conduct with all of the people. But the one who has the most right to those manners, the one who has the most right to those manners is the parents. The parents. And this is important because some people, they have misunderstood this issue. And you will find that some people, they're very nice to their friends, or they're very nice to their companions. And whenever they're with their friends or companions, they pick the best words and the nicest speech. And they make sure they don't say anything or do anything that will make their friend mad at them. But whenever they talk to their mother, they raise their voice. And they speak with a tone that's belittling them. That's belittling her. And the likes like this. If we were to do that with our friends, would our friends stay with us? Would they be our friends tomorrow? We should ask ourselves like this. If we talk to our friends the way we talk to our parents, would we have any friends tomorrow? Would our friends stay with us? No way. They would never want to be with us if we talked to our friends the way that sometimes maybe some people talk to their parents. But Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he's aware of this issue. So he's giving advice to us and to the Muslims that the one who has the most right for the good manners, yes, you should have good manners with your friends. Yes, you should have good manners with your companions. But the one more rightfully than that is your parents. And even in Kitab al-Adab, in Sahih al-Bukhari, he began in the same manner. And many of the scholars of hadith after him, likewise, from the Kutub al-Sitta, you will find them beginning in the same manner. This is an indication of the greatness of the right of the parents. And that this is something that has a high status and rank in Islam. And the sign of the good Islam of a person and his strong faith in Iman is that he's obedient and kind and nice to his parents. And the people in paradise, some of the people who have the highest ranks and that are most beloved to Allah, they're the ones who are the nicest and the kindest to their parents. And some of the people who have the lowest levels and have the anger of Allah, they are the people who are rude and harsh to their parents. And even some of the people of knowledge, they have made an example of a person who does good deeds, but he is rude and he disobeys his parents. It's like somebody who is carrying a basket and he goes around collecting fruits, but the basket has a hole in it. So every time he puts it, fruits in the basket, what happens? He walks around, he picks some apples, and he picks some pears, and he picks some bananas and strawberries, he throws them in the basket. Then he walks over here to get some peaches, and what happens to the pears? They fall out of the hole. What happens to the peaches? They're gone. So then he goes and puts the peaches in, and then he looks in the strawberries, like, oh, what happened to my strawberries? And then he goes, and after that, he wants to get some bananas, and he puts that, what happened to my peaches? So every time he tries to get more good, he looks down, he has a hole in his basket, it keeps going away. Like this, the bad deeds, they wipe out the good deeds. And the parents, they have a great right with Allah Azza wa Jalla, and to disobey them is dangerous. To disobey them is dangerous. It could be a means to wipe out the deeds. It could be a means to wipe out the deeds. Somebody may be saying now, and if not, you should say, and I'm going to say it for you, just as my mashayikh and my teachers have taught me as well. Maddaril. What's the proof? Huh? What's the proof? What's the proof? First of all, if we want to get proof, where do we go to? Al-Quran. And then? As-Sunnah. Al-Quran and then As-Sunnah. The proof is the statements of Allah Azza wa Jal in His book with regards to the obligation of obeying the parents. There are so many statements. There are so many verses. Now that Allah Azza wa Jal, He has mentioned the obligation of obeying the parents. From them, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And your Lord has decreed, the scholars, they mentioned here, legislative decree. And it's the deen, it's a legislation, it's an obligation. For you, your Lord has decreed that you must worship Him alone and not associate any partners with Him whatsoever. And you must be obedient and kind to your parents. And then Allah, He says, وَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And Allah, He says, and worship Allah alone, and do not associate any partners with Him whatsoever, and be obedient and kind to your parents. So in these two verses, Allah has decreed in His legislation and made it obligatory. And He mentioned the greatest obligation. To worship Him alone with no partners. This is His greatest commandment. And then in the second verse, He commanded that, like, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ. This is a command from Allah Azza wa Jal. وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. And that's a prohibition. And don't associate any partners with Him. So both of them begin with the mention of the greatest commandment. And the greatest obligation. And to avoid the worst prohibition. Stay away from that, and that is with the right of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهُ وَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. Now, to worship Allah alone and to not associate any partners with Him whatsoever, this is the right of Allah. Whose right did He couple with after that in these two verses? Allah mentioned His right first, and then He mentioned the right of somebody else in these two verses. The right of who? The right of the friends, the right of the companions, the right of the neighbor. Who? وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And also you must be kind and obedient to your parents. So the scholars have mentioned here that the fact that Allah mentioned His right and then right after that mentioned the right of the parents, this is an indication of the great right of the parents. That after the right of Allah Azza wa Jal from the people, the one who is right is most important is the right of the parents. Is the right of the parents. So we should know that this is something that Allah, He has legislated. And that Allah, He has commanded. And if we want to know what is beloved to Allah from the deeds, how can we find out? What is a good sign that some action is beloved to Allah? if he commands it. So whatever Allah has commanded and made it obligatory, this means that he loves it. And he mentioned in the Hadith Qudsi that he said, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, مَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّ افْتَرَطُهُ عَلَيْهِ, that my slave has never tried to get close to me with anything more beloved to me than what I made obligatory. So therefore, if Allah commands something and makes it obligatory, that means that he loves it. And he loves for his servants to do it. So what Allah has commanded here first and foremost is his tawheed, and that he should be worshipped alone with no partners, and also that the parents should be obeyed and that they should be treated nicely and kindly. This is something that Allah loves. This is something that Allah, he loves. This is something that Allah loves. You understand that? Does Allah love kindness and obedience to the parents? Yes. How do we know that? Because he has commanded us. Naam, because he has commanded us with that in the Quran. Naam, what is obeying the parents important? No. How do we know that it's important? What is some a proof that it's important? And all of the obligations are important. Is being kind to your neighbor important? Is being nice to your brother and sister important? Naam, it's all important. But what makes the obedience to the parents and the kindness to the parents even more important? What was it? How do we know that's even more important?
Because they took care of you.
Because they took care of you. But in these verses that we just mentioned.
Because Allah commanded it right after worshiping.
Because Allah mentioned the obedience to the parents after the right of the parents after mentioning his right. And this is not the only two verses. There are other verses like this. Many times Allah will mention his right of Tawheed, and then after that, the right of the parents. قُلْ تَعَالُوا أَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ أَلَّا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Naam? What about, who knows Surah Luqman? وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حملته أمه وهنا على وهن وفصاله في عامين أن اشكر لي ولوالديك إلي المصير. Allah, he says that we have commanded the human being, we have commanded the people to be nice and kind and obedient to their parents. Naam, and his mother, their mother has carried them in her belly for this long period. Naam, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and in hardship. It's not easy to carry a baby in your belly. Huh? It's not easy for a baby to grow inside somebody's belly. Naam? It's not easy for a baby to grow inside of somebody's belly. Little bitty thing, little bitty fluid turning into blood, turning into flesh. Next thing you know, there's bones. Huh? All of this going on in somebody's belly. Can we imagine that? This shows the power of Allah and the wisdom of, and the knowledge of Allah. Naam? And then what happens? Allah, he says, anishkur li, so that you can show thanks to me, the one who created you in the belly of that woman. Wadi walidayka, and to show thanks to your parents also, ilayya al-masir, and you're returning back to me. So to show thanks to Allah Azza wa Jalla and your parents, and to remember the return to Allah. And he's going to hold us accountable for how we performed with regards to his right, and with regards to the right of our parents, وَإِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرُ, and to me is the return, meaning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, we are just as we are held accountable to be obedient to Allah, Allah also has given rights to the parents, and we are held accountable, and we have to be obedient to them also. And if we are disobedient to our parents, then this is a means to be punished in this life and in the hereafter. Punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from those who are disobedient to their parents. Allah mentioned these affairs in more than one verse, in more than one chapter. As I mentioned in Luqman, also in Surah Ahqaf. If you read in Surah Ahqaf, Allah mentions what happens to the one who disobeys the parents. The one who disobeys the parents, he'll be from the people of the hellfire, ya'adhim billah, for disobeying the parents. So the issue that we're studying now is very, very important, and this manners are very, very important. And likewise, here we see that Allah, He says, "Anishkur li wali walidayka ilayya al-masir." And this issue has preceded and will be repeated, inshaAllah, that we must be kind to our parents, not for our parents. We must show thanks to our parents, not for the sake of our parents, but rather for the sake of Allah. Now, because we're returning back to Him. And from being a good believer, and from being a good Muslim, Naam, and from being obedient to Allah, is that we are kind and obedient to our parents. Is that we are kind and obedient to our parents. Just like it's your friends, they would not want to hang out with somebody who's rude or somebody who's harsh. And no doubt our friends, they have a right upon us to have good companionship and for us to accompany them in the best manner, and to hang out and to be nice to them. But even more right than our friends, our parents, they have the most right for us to be kind to them. And they have the most right for us to be nice to them. And they have the most right for us to obey them. And inshallah, we will take more details in this issue in the classes to come. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.